Moses Nation, this is a day in the life where Layla and I, we flew out to do two keynotes in Orlando, Florida. I think you'll dig the presentation on branding. I've never talked about it publicly.
The first time we took a private jet was out of necessity. We were in Puerto Rico, and it was right as Hurricane Maria was hitting. We see the news about it, and I check flights, and the flights are all like multiple connections. So we drink a cup of coffee, and then like more news is like, this looks like it might be really serious. And I check the flights again, all gone. All right, well, we're gonna be here, you know, it's fine. And then we go to the grocery store to like pick up some water or whatever. And two people are getting a fist fight over water on the island.
People are fucking sprinting around the store.
She's like, we have to get off this island.
I was like, dude, you don't want to be here when it's dead.
Get back to our house, and this old guy has this massive yacht. He's our neighbor. I was like, oh, what are you going to do with that? He's like, oh, it'll just get destroyed. And I was like, what? Oh, he's like, you should be fine. He's like, just go to the third story. First two floors will flood. And Layla, at this point, is just like, we're getting off this fucking island. She was like, charter a plane. And I was like, mind you, this is like the beginning of our wealth. And I was like,
I Google shit.
We call a plane, I put it on speakerphone.
We need to get off Puerto Rico.
He was like, it'll be 70 grand. And like, we both looked at each other and I was like, so we're decided. She was like, yeah, we're decided. We both had come to completely separate conclusions from that number. I was like, so we're staying. And she's like, so we're going, right? And then she looked, she's like, what is my life worth to you?
I was like, are you fucking kidding me? 35 grand to save my life?
I was like, well, it wasn't 35, it was 70.
35 for mine, 35 for yours.
So I call like three other charters and I'm like, I got a guy who says he can do it for 50. And he was like, I'll do it for 40. I call another guy. It's like,
by the way, this is the last day you can go off the island. And so like literally when he's like, I got to call some more to get a price. I was like, oh my God, can we have 4 hours?
I get a guy who's like, I'll do it for 28. And I was like, cool. He's like, but you have to leave in 2 hours. Went straight to the airport. And they were like, oh, actually it's coming faster than we thought. Like these will be the last planes out. We got on the plane and it was the first time in my life where money actually did something like useful for me.
The local newspaper, the Gowanus Spotting.
I was getting in my car at the gym the other day. I get in the car and I have the window down and this guy's like, hey, and I was like, ah!
So like, I actually announce my presence. Like whenever I walk through, I'm like, I'm here. And if she doesn't hear me, she just freaks out.
When you sat in the chair in the fucking dark like a psycho, and then you got mad at me when I cried. He scared me so bad, I started crying. I woke up and he wasn't in bed, right? Then I go to the bathroom, I come back out. I just assume he's left. I just hear,
hey.
Scream and like huddle, and then I just start crying. And then he's like, what the fuck?
I was trying not to wake you. I just like, I'm awake.
I made podcasts for 4 years.
What's going on, everybody? I am coming to you with one that I'm excited about.
And like, real talk, they were just as good as the ones I have now. Years, not like,
oh, I did it for 90 days.
4 years, 2 to 3 podcasts a week, every week. And then on the fifth year, it hit. The real is it was just packaged as gym specific. I'd say like my biggest learning of even the last year to 2 years of my career has been packaging. Everything I was taught early in my career is niche down. And so I did that and I maximized a niche. But like at some point you maximize a niche and you have to go further. I always am like slow to make those big moves because I want to make sure I'm not doing it out of being ADD. That was a super tough call. September 19 to September 20, rebranded it as The Game. I just remember there was one day I was like, I don't feel like talking about gym stuff anymore. I can talk about business, but like a lot of it for me has always been, I'm so afraid to talk about something that like I want to make sure I'm legit if I'm going to talk about it. When I had the gyms.
Hey guys, I'm Alex and I'm the owner of United Fitness.
I had six. I did six and then I did 30 plus turnarounds before I ever made a single piece of content about like how you could run a gym better. So I was like, okay, well, I've been to 30 plus markets. I had six of my own. I was like, I feel confident in saying like these things work better than these ones. I wanted to over-credentialize myself for whatever content I was going to make so that I felt like I could take whatever heat someone was going to throw at me because I'd be like, well, here's why I think that. Like, here's my evidence. And I think that approach has been good. It just takes longer. I think the jerseys are dope. Can I try that on? I could rock a little double-double. If you look at McConaughey when he went from rom-com, he basically like disappeared from the scene and then came back and like did Dallas Buyers Club, Wolf of Wall Street, and these other movies where he took like serious roles on, etc. I was making all gym stuff. I wanted to push myself away from all gym stuff. Kale became more public-facing. I kind of slumped to the background. Only thing I produced at that point was the podcast, which I'd rebranded as The Game, but I still wasn't doing anything else that was public. And that was like a year or two. And then I started making content publicly. So I feel like sometimes you have to like give a little bit of distance, kind of like reset, and then you go out with like whatever the new kind of direction you want to go is. It's me exactly what I did at the Q&A for the VIP day. I'm going to get up there. I'm going to write all of the topics I want to talk about. And I'm just going to like hit them in whatever order feels good. I feel good about it. Or it'll blow. I envision a day where we have like the shareholder meetings where all the companies come out and we have that big convention of all the portfolio companies. That'd be cool.
The whole theme of the presentation is actually on strategy, which is like, I'll be like, what the fuck does that mean?
I love
it. And then I'll break it down. But like, it just means doing the thing you get the most bang for the buck.
Dude, you guys are killing the vibe. I heard the vibe's like,
yeah, no, we're just like, we gotta bring the energy.
I'm gonna briefly hit on brand. It's like if you build a personal brand, then you'll make more money from that than your gym. But then, if, what are we solving for? You know what I mean? It's the principle, it's not the. Yeah. Flip chart on the stage. Rather than do slides, which is normally what I do, I actually want to draw the stuff live with you. And I think it's more engaging that way. If you've ever seen like a math problem on a board and it's just like all done versus like someone walking through the math, hits different, that's at least the theory. And if it sucks, you can tell me at the end. Brand isn't actually a thing. It's an association we make between things that we know and things that people don't know, which is usually our company. If you think about a brand like a bouquet of flowers, a bouquet of flowers isn't actually a thing. It's many things put together and then we put it in our heads as an idea as one. But it's not actually anything. Because if you spill it on the floor, it's not a bouquet anymore. Think of a brand as a bouquet of flowers, but it's your bouquet of flowers. And what you're putting inside of that bouquet are the individual intangible ideas that you want to associate together with the thing that people don't know about, which is usually your company. And so if I were to say some things about my brand, you'd probably know that I have the best calves ever. Right? So that would be something that's like associated with my brand. Dessert, that's something that's associated with my brand. Now, those are like fun little doodads, but hopefully some of the things that you really associate with my brand are giving first, providing value, being patient, doing the boring work. And the reason brand and reputation is so hard to maintain is because so many people want to rub their shit on yours. So let's say, here's my bouquet, then I've got this sad flower. So this is a sad face flower. If I handed my wife this bouquet, all of the roses are perfect, and there's this one that's just wilted and dead. The bouquet, the brand, the perception of it, massively shifts even with one fucked up flower. And so that's why creating a brand is much more about cultivating deliberately the associations you want to make with the thing you have that people don't know, with the things that your ideal audience likes, that you want them to like too. Oh, thanks.
That was awesome.
Huh? Oh, yeah, good. Yeah. Different. Yeah.
I liked it a lot. It was great because you were just yourself.
Cool. This used to be the first song in my playlist for working out. Get my calves going. I can choreograph way more like symphony of feelings and visuals and charts and graphs when I do the presentation. I mean, from a prep time though, way less. My presentations are typically 5 slides per minute because I actually think about it as like a movie. I'm gonna do a voiceover on a film. There's this amazing video, I think it's called Death by PowerPoint. It was basically just like one idea, one image, that's it. Next idea, next image, that's it. When you do that, you're like, that's only like 30, 40 seconds. And you're like, that's why it's so many slides.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw 840 slides for the training thing we're gonna do. That's how you build great training. I always enjoy meet and greets with Mosey Nation because I get to hear like the real problems that you guys are going through, but I get to go a little bit deeper than I normally can on like comments or like a short piece, which makes it one of my favorite ways to interact just in general.
What would be your number one advice on how to get the attractive talent? Because some people say you want to make the talent yourself. Some people say you want to try to poach from other places.
I think you do both. I think it's an and. You want to have all the training you can because that gets you cheaper talent that you then level up, but it costs us time. The more money you get, the more you buy talent rather than building it.
Because and so there's sometimes you spend all this time training somebody, then you realize that they're fucking dumbass.
If you were to internalize it, it's like, I'm not good at picking the right people. I'm not good at training them. Like, because those are controllables rather than the other person. If you internalize it.
So for a gym, for example, running ads on Indeed and interviewing like that, or hiring like within your clients?
I think both. There's all those ways. You can reach out, you can do content, you can run ads. Like, just like you get customers, you get employees. Same exact thing.
You talking about your story with your dad and
everything? Yeah.
You gave me that confidence to make that move.
Wow. That means the world to me, man. Congrats.
I know you talked about you wanted a consulting job with the government, and it seemed really fancy, but you just weren't happy.
Yeah.
But what gave you the courage to be okay disappointing your dad?
I just didn't feel like being alive anymore. For me, that was my thing. It doesn't have to be that for you, but for me, it was like, well, I don't feel like being alive. And so I, like, the actual phrase I kept repeating myself was like, I have to die to him in order to live for me. I needed a new life. And if that meant he wasn't going to accept that new life, which he didn't in the beginning, I just had to be cool with that. And I think that's a lot of that's like the journey for a lot of guys, like becoming a man is like when you start valuing your own opinion of you more than your father or your cousin or whatever's. It's like you basically elevate your own opinion of self than other people's, and then you become more independent. Like, that's how you become independent. It was my hardest thing. I think I got a job. But dude, we'll get one pick one. All right. All right, guys. I got to head. No, you're good. You're good. You're good. I got to go. All right. Bye.
I actually really like the Explore thing. Mine's got like fighting, bodybuilding. It's fighting and bodybuilding. Comedy's harder to click on because the other two are so much more visual. If there's just a dude with a mic, I'm like, I don't know if this is gonna be funny, but I do know this guy's jacked. It would be interesting if images make a comeback. Because I will say this, when I look at someone's, their profile, I actually go only for the images because I don't feel like watching videos. It just feels more chill.
So my next book is coming out and I'm stoked. So here's a sneak peek.
It'll be interesting because I think part of what I want to talk about, maybe even at the just, I don't know if I want to do it at the maybe it'll be like, it'll probably, because it's going to be like raw, maybe post. I'll be like, how to get the most out of this book. When I look at my audience, 76% of people want to start a business. So like, you should read it from the beginning to the end because you won't have context on any of this. If you have a business, lead magnets, referrals, because everyone has customers, the core four way that you advertise, and then the way to make that way better, which is the core four on steroids. And then from there, you know, read the other ones.
Hey, sweetie. Hey, boo-boo. Hey, supermodel.
Layla's doing her thing. That's my wife.
I see that, yeah. I'm starting to connect with the whole thing. She's the brains in the operation, right?
Yeah. She is. I'm the pretty face.
You guys got it. There you go.
What I want to do today is talk about how to get other people to do stuff, like make you money. These are the principles, like I said, that we have used to build Gym Launch, Prestige Labs, and now Acquisition.com.
It's pretty great. Your book helped me make like $300,000 this year, so I really appreciate that. Again, really nice.
Good.
Could be really
good. You're good. Oh, that's super great.
Acquisition.com.
The croc thing? No, it's great. No, that's super sweet. Thank you so much, man. All the carnivore guys are like, vegetables are actually bad for you. Do you want to be a bird?
So it's just you and me on stage. That's figured we'll just do it like we always do. We're coming.
Okay, start Tim Hiram.
Q&A in front of a drawing board. That is my happiest place.
What advice did you give your 19-year-old self in order to surpass where you are today?
I was incredibly impatient, and it's really tough because a year is 5% of your life when you're 19, so it feels like a really long time. And so the idea of waiting 1 year, 2 years, 3 years is like 15% of your life. You're like, holy shit. There's a reason that the saying's like, good things take time. Like, Rome wasn't built in a day. Those sayings exist because good shit does take time to build. And when you have that massive list of should do's, it does take 2 years or 3 years to build something exceptional. And that's the reason most people can't do it. It's recognizing that when you're 19, you absolutely are in a season of learning, not a season of earning, which means you should be willing to work for far below what you believe you are worth in order to learn to increase what that worth is. And I had this exact conversation with my neighbor who was 16 at the time. And I just said, I can guarantee that you will be a millionaire when you're 30 if you'll give me 10 years. I was like, will you sign that contract? He said, yeah. I was like, okay, then you're gonna eat shit for 10. And 10's a long time because he's 3 years in and he's like, seven more. Not being in a rush is the single thing that I would tell my 19-year-old self, and being willing to do anything to learn new skills.
How do I know who to hire, what to hire, as far as offloading certain tasks on a daily basis?
You're always making a trade with your time to do stuff to get money back, at least from a business perspective. And so if you're paying someone with money to get your time back, then you'd have an alternative vehicle that's gonna get a higher return than what you're paying them, right? That's the fundamentals of when you're trading your time for money. The order that you trade or replace the time is,
If you look at your entire week of activities, and Layla has a great activity around this, which is doing a time study. Make an Excel sheet, you don't need fancy software to do this, and you have all the hours of the day put into 15-minute increments. And this may sound tedious, it's also really effective and will make you more money than it costs you time, because when you actually have to write what you're doing every 15 minutes, you realize that you are not gonna waste 7 hours of your day not doing shit because you wanna get credit for it in your own head. You do your 15-minute increments, you write down the shit, and at the end of the week, you're like, okay, of these things, what is the single largest block of time that I can give away for the lowest amount of money?
You've mentioned that you don't think of it as a kind of large meaning to life. I know you strive for excellence in all facets of your life. What are your pillars to life that you strive excellence for?
I'm gonna hit this one really quickly. Of course, meaning of life. Real quick answer. For me, my purpose of life is to learn. And I defined yesterday learning as same condition, new behavior. And so I think that the majority of my life will continue to show me similar conditions. And if I can become and behave in the way that I ideally want to do at the end of my life, then I've become the person that I want to become. And all of the stimuli between the day I'm born and the day I die exists to help shape that person. Thanks. Would you like to talk about the meaning of your life? Okay. I don't know, a lot of the people there were like just Mosey Nation and were not gym owners. Not a single question was about gyms.
Really?
I was surprised. Last day here at GymCon, I've got one more talk and we're gonna go and ask some of the attendees for more questions about their businesses.
I had this class in music. Teacher gave everybody a project. Basically just like really heavily research one song. And that was the whole class. It was like one person would research the song. They'd play the song for 3 minutes or whatever it was. And then 27 minutes would be them giving like a full report. And now that I say it out loud, I think he just figured out how to not teach anything. Brilliant. The guy who got the highest grade in the class did his thing on Hurt. As soon as you play that song, I'm like, yeah, it's a fucking great song. Like, honestly, I think that was one of the best things that ever happened to Nine Inch Nails. The fact that Johnny Cash covered someone else's song. Have you seen the music video? Dude, I'll play it for you. It's sick. And you could have it all. I will make you. So good. Dude, he died 7 months after this video. These are some sandals, water sandals, I think, or hiking sandals. I wear these because I can wear these in the most environments. Because I can wear these to the gym, which I actually really like. I can walk in them. I can wear these in water. I can wear these on the beach. They're closed toe, so I can wear them in most restaurants. And I don't have to wear socks. What else do you need? Do you know how many times I go to the pool and come out and go to a restaurant after going to the gym and presenting all in the same short? Dude, this is a fucking Darwin outfit. Literally yesterday, we did the talk, and then I went to the pool, and then I walked, and then went to a fancy restaurant, drying like 20 minutes. Yep, and these are stretchy, and they're elastic. It's the best. Everyone else's shorts are inferior to mine. You didn't even know about that. I'm like, you're just not as adaptable. We get wet, you're fucked. We go to a nice restaurant, you're fucked. I go to the gym, you're fucked. All right, I'm up. The third time I've been introduced.
Alex Ramosi.
Thank you. We're gonna do a cool deep dive together on a topic that I hold near and dear to my heart, which is closing. The difference between help and manipulation is intention. Either way, you're going to change someone's behavior, or your intention is to change someone's behavior. If the prospect knew everything that you knew, they should make the decision to buy. If you're being really honest with yourself, if the prospect knew everything that you knew and then they would choose not to buy, then you are deceiving them, which is no bueno. But this presentation will be the best presentation on sales you've ever heard, the worst presentation on sales you've ever heard, or somewhere in between. That is a promise. Charlie Munger, big hero of mine, he said, we have a high moral responsibility to be rational. Sometimes you've got logical buyers, sometimes you've got emotional buyers. There are different types of people who buy in different styles, just like there are different selling styles, different buying styles. People want to believe you. They want to buy. You just have to help their logical brains justify the decision. Like, most people are like, hey, I can make you a lot more money. They want to believe you. You just have to help them justify it. Hey, I can help you get into your high school jeans. I can make you look the way you did 20 years ago. They want to believe you. Make the decisions to help yourself, implement like crazy, take ownership, realize that there are no silver bullets, but some things can move you closer to your goals, and when those rare acceleration opportunities come in life, take them. Because either win or you learn, and both of those get you closer to wherever it is you want to go. Thank you. Overall, it's an awesome trip. Love GymCon. It was great to see the gym owners and our community there, gym lords. Comment below if you want to see more vlog stuff like this. Bye.